we present All Souls Night by Joseph Tumulty, with Sheila McGibbon as Catherine, Michael Duffy as John, and Dan Gordon as Michael. All Souls Night.
Come in. I was keeping an eye for you. I thought maybe you'd forget to call.
I thought I'd never get away quick enough. Old Sarah was in one of her moods, slapping everyone on the knuckles with a ruler. She can smell you getting a wrong note.
I heard you practicing in me at the pump getting water. Like a dirge it was from what I could hear.
Yes, a new mass for the dead.
I have no fondness for that kind of music at all. For me it's too gurney. Like as if they were trying to coax back the dead to life.
It is gurney, Catherine.
Did you get my bookmark?
I did.
Well, give it to me before the linen is off.
Miss Grant was saying it's the cleanest savings book that comes over the post office counter.
Is the interest marked in it?
Yes, there it is. There. Just underneath your last lodgment. You've got a small fortune there.
Hard gathering, my lass. Waste not, want not. That was always in my mind. When I was young, I was hired out to a farmer, and every morning I had to shine the kitchen range, and those words were written on the face of it. Waste not, want not.
It must have taken you a long time to save.
It did. I'd have had more too if it hadn't been for the tombstone I put up to Stephen. I still have a lot of pages to fill in this book.
Sixpence a week would fill the book in no time.
I'd like to lay past more than that in a week. That wouldn't make much roughness of money.
No, it wouldn't. Your porridge is burning.
Oh, aye. Tom Barr's called in to say he thought that Michael and his father had a catch.
If they had, they're the only ones. Most of the men were at the choir practice. Still, it's late for them to be getting in.
Aye, likely they had a catch and made for our glass with it. God knows it's due them a spare no luck. Fishing all week and not a thing except a few codlin for Thurston the banker or a couple of silver hake for Sir John. Listen, if you ever marry Michael, urge him to sea, even if it's in a coaster. Don't have him wasting his time about this place. A breath of wind from the east or a web of fog and there's no work done at all.
It's Michael's own life. I'll take no say in what he does.
So be it, Molly. But fish about these waters and live in perpetual poverty.
You saved pretty well out of it.
When I'm never off their backs or half time, they'd never stir. Michael's only wasting his time here, spending the best part of his years in a desolate place the like of this.
Michael doesn't want to leave his home. Michael has brains.
If talk is any measure of them, he has plenty. Isn't that why he'd do well at sea?
Michael has other plans.
He has his head full of daydreams and loose talk. He's contrarian, not like people born about these doors at all.
Well, I'll have to be getting back to the office. I had trouble getting out, so I mustn't overdo it. Tell Michael I'll look in tonight.
You'll take him to chapel with you.
He might be tired.
It's All Souls Night, and he be to go to chapel whether he likes it or not. Could you spare a minute longer?
Is there something you want me to do?
If I get your pen and ink, would you write out the notice for the priest to read tonight? This is the night he does it.
What notice?
The notice of Stephen's death. It's nearly a year since.
His anniversary? Certainly. Give me the writing things. Now, how do we put it? We hear these things read out Sunday after Sunday.
I know it off by heart. Your prayers are requested for the repose of the soul of Stephen Quinn.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Strange. But I never knew what that word means.
What word?
Repose.
It means peace. Yes, peace or rest. Stephen Quinn, who was drunk.
No, you don't put he was drowned. The priest said it was better to leave that out for everybody around these parts knows he was drowned. He was as like Michael as a pea in one way, but a world of difference between them and others. Stephen had great spunk and was obedient. He was the do of the place. Michael is the don't.
Have you an envelope?
I get one and seal it.
I'll rush on. Here comes Mr. Quinn. Tired looking he is. Well, there's a fog gathering. I see Michael. bridle tying up at the Black Rock.
Is that yourself, Molly?
No, it's my married sister, Bella.
Always the ready tongue, my girl. Do you know, Molly, them's the first words to cross my lips since leaving our last 2.5 hours ago.
Why so?
The fog of the law. Chasing after us like a blind bat. Gripping my chest like a vice.
You must have had a bit of luck if you were in our glass.
We had.
Have you anything tasty in that old skin?
Always catching. There's a couple of red rock cod in there for thrashing the banker. And there's a nod too.
Thank you. Say to Michael I'll be in before chapel. So long for now.
Had you good fishing?
That fog, you know, sleek it as a cat, it comes dropping from the sky in webs. Bad, bad. It churns the heart inside with coughing.
I'm asking you, had you good fishing?
Oh, not bad fishing at all, woman. 6 crown of as fine herring as ever came out of the sea.
Where did you fish?
South east of Gun's Isle Sound, near the tip of the point, before dark came on us quickly. I saw the gulls burying themselves in the sea, and I knew their duckings wasn't in fun. I heard seals coughing and saw a shiver of fray near the rocks, so I knew the heron was there.
Good signs, to be sure.
We shot the nets, and as they drove north to Rock Angus, I bid Michael make a sup of tea. The moon was sodden like a clump of paper that has butter bruised on it. But she shied in the sky about midnight, and in the dark we let the nets drive. We looked at one head. It was bellied with the weight of fish. Since God put breath in me, Catherine, I never saw such fine herring. Every one as fat and as full as the breast of a dove. Tragic, woman. Tragic is no word for it. Madness, maybe, aye. Dead madness. One net was always stowed. It weighed her down like a log. Towing the other nets couldn't be done, for the new tide was curling swiftly towards Paddy Lug. Heartbreak, woman, heartbreak. It'll never leave my mind. Fine, fat, swollen herons left to the coughing seals and the hungry gulls and the sea.
Are you rambling in your mind, man? You're talking sideways. What is it you're wanting to say?
And I tell you, we were only able to take one net on board, that we had to cut the others adrift. A sad sight it was, Catherine, to be cutting them and to hear the sea sizzle them down in the dark. That's put Michael in a shock and temper. Barely 3 words crossed his lips to me since we left Ardglass.
And what does it ails him? And I sit sore and tired telling him to clear off and let you take someone else with you. Someone with a kind word for
it. It isn't that he's bitter nor uncivil, it's just that...
Hush! Yes, now.
Well, we'll have to buy some new painter rope. That one's just gone in the middle.
And what will make the boat fast?
Oh, I may do with what I have. But the night's noisy, you loser.
Could you get a length or two of painter rope and tilt us?
Must be the terrible tug you do with it. I bought that painter rope not 3 months ago.
All right, if you don't want to buy it, let her go if the night's boisterous.
Sit down and take that gruel.
I don't care whether I eat or not.
Well, I'm not coaxing you to it. Therefore, you'll be wanted.
Sit down and take it, man. Take the sour, grudging look off your face. What way is that to be going on, never speaking to me since we pulled out of our glass? Why do you torment yourself?
What is it ails him?
He's sore because we had to cut the nets adrift. As if it was something that he never heard tell of before. Sure, that's happened since we ever started to fish. It's nothing new.
Aye, and you're content to let it happen?
In God's name, is there anything we can do with it? We aren't seers or men of magic who know if the heron's going to mesh. We can't look to the bottom to see if the heron's thick.
There's plenty we can do about it. We can get a bigger boat.
Listen, we don't want that talk all over again. It's mad fanciful talk.
There's tea in the hob there if you want it.
Well, where are you going?
I'll go to Tilda's for the rope. We're 2 hours left then.
Bring 3.
I'm asking your father.
Best bring 3 lengths for a period.
And when you're at it, bring me some cigarettes.
Michael, son, don't start that talk about a bigger boat. You know how she takes it. Telling you to clear off the sea if you can't stand the way things are here. You know I don't want you leaving the place at all. There's your teeth.
I'm a young man, Father. I can't help talking the way I do. Can't you try to see my side of things?
I know, but get it into your head that the sea will always be master and we'll always have to fight it.
Well, if we've got to fight it, we need good weapons. What have you been fighting with all these years? A handful of boards held together with halfpenny nails and skinned with tarred canvas.
I know all about it. Fight it was, with 4 open mouths to feed. Sailing home with nothing on the stern sheets but two or three harmless skippers that wouldn't ease the hunger of a cat.
Oh, it was your own fault.
In God's name, how was it my fault? And don't have me losing my temper, Mater. You know what night it is? All Souls' Night. No night for talk or banter. It's a night to be quiet and thinking of the dead that's gone before us.
Read that book on the dresser.
Thrawn, I'm sour. Taunt me with my own ignorance when you know full well that I can neither read nor write.
Well, let me read it to you.
I've heard what books are like, filled with flowery talk.
Spend an hour every night by the fire and let me read to you what the men on the east of Scotland did.
We're only poor people.
Well, so were the men in the northeast of Scotland, the same as ourselves. What, there were cooks and herring from the sea and punts and yaws. Look at them now. Fine, courageous drifters under their feet, going away to Iceland, Ireland, and beyond it.
And do you think we can do that here?
But why can't we? Well, the men, well, all we need is the boat.
Michael, son, it's madness to think of drifters sailing out from our small village with our own markings on them.
Well, why is it madness?
God, man, isn't it enough?
Rubbish, father. Well, look at us last night, cutting away three nets choked full of fish because we hadn't a boat big enough to stow them in.
Michael, of late I've noticed a great pride coming over you. If it's God's will, you are to prosper and become big nothing.
Oh, God's will has nothing to do with it, father.
Don't say that. We owe him every breath in our body. There's a great grabbing in your nature of late, Michael.
It's not grab, nor greed, nor pride that's in me. I'm a man now. That's what you forget. I want to rise. To get on in life, it's something I can't stop. It's in my brain, in my heart. It's pulsing through me. I'll get a bigger boat, a nabby if you will, but it'll urge me on until I get a drifter. A steam drifter. One drifter. Two drifters. Like they have on the Scotch coast. And not because of greed, nor grab, nor pride, but because of the urge that's in me.
Them's the kind of thoughts that are in your head when you've drink taken. Listen, son, don't get into a rage for nothing. Sit down there and finish your tea.
If I had only the money, father.
If
I had only the money. There's a 20-ton nabby for sale in the Isle of Valley.
Who owns it?
Tom Huddle's made a trussing.
Sure, I know her well. Didn't I see her drink Haddy when I bought the nets last season?
How much money do you think he'd be wanting for
it? More than you or I have in our possession.
Well, I'll know soon. That is, if Tom Huddle's quick about answering a letter. I wrote to him a week or more ago.
Flying at the moon, you are, Michael, to be thinking of even pricing made a trussing. Huddle will be looking hundreds for her.
Hundreds?
Aye, 200, 300, and maybe the split of another.
Well, if we had had her last night, we'd have had that in one catch.
Aye, and if you'd had a brigantine or a whaler, you'd have had £1,000. Have patience.
But I'm not preaching the impossible. Father, how much money has my mother saved in the post office?
In God's name, Michael, son, how would I know if she has any?
She has a post office book hidden in her skirt, rolled up in brown paper.
How do you know it's a post office
book? Well, haven't I got eyes in me head?
You're sure it wasn't Molly made you wise to it?
How could she tell me anything when she's sworn to secrecy in her job?
That's as may be, but it's strange you noticed the book with your mother.
Well, what's she saving for?
I suppose, like everybody else, for the evil times. She always strove to lay aside a pound or two. She was proud, you know, to have some ready money when Stephen was drowned. Look at the fine granite headstone she put up in the chapel yard to his memory. Shining like the blue eye of a seal in the sun. Strange, Michael, but when I passed it the last three mornings, I saw the one-legged gull perched on it. You know, the one he used to feed? It's queer to think of things, but I heard once that the souls of the dead could pass into places and things. Sometimes I think it would be better if the stone wasn't there. Catching the eye and stirring it all up in the mind again. Something that any king would be proud of.
There's no use talking on like that, father.
But it's terrible to be sailing up and down the loch wondering where he was drowned. I swear it was near the grounds of the current tide.
But when he was alive, she'd barely give him enough to eat. She could well spend a week we sneaked out of the forage stores to eat. And never a smoke. Oh, yes, it's fine to be putting up the tombstone now.
Always dead things are important to her breed. They'd let a man starve by the roadside or freeze to death in a boat, and then they'd beg, borrow or steal money for a shroud and a coffin to cover him.
She's your mother, Michael. You shouldn't speak such unkind words about her.
She should never have been a mother. She never knew how to rear children.
Damnation take you, you bratty. You're not afraid of God striking you dead for talk like that.
I talk what way I like. Too long I've been like a hard boy about this place. I say what I feel. I know she sent him to his death. Oh, I know. And you know only too well how she can do it. Go and look at the Creels, boy. Sir John was here. He asked me how I was. Sat by the fire like one of ourselves. She must think that half-wit in a big house second cousin to Christ himself.
Your hot temper will lead you into trouble if you don't check it. We'd have gone hungry many a time if it hadn't been for the gentry.
Ach, why do I waste my breath talking to you? You never change. I'm sorry for the outburst, but at times I'm...
It's all right, son. I'm your father. There must always be a strangeness between us. Maybe if we could talk without that strangeness, you might be surprised. But listen, she'll be in on top of us any minute. And I've no wish to say what's in my mind. Tell me, it's agreed that we got £30 for the shot of Hearn.
Yes.
So that's £5 to be divided between us.
Yes. Take your 50 shillings now, here. 30 years married, father, and you must sneak a few shillings for yourself like a schoolboy.
Tight-fisted she is, son. You or I will never change her. She's been like that since the day and hour we were married. It won't be like that when you marry Molly.
It won't, father.
And that's the way it ought to be, with every man and his wife. Like Molly and you, with no fear between you.
Is there fear between you two, father?
Fear? Maybe it isn't fear. Some of that isn't the word for it. A strangeness, maybe.
If you said that there was no love, would that be near it?
Michael, what is it you're asking?
Sunlight.
Did you get the cigarettes?
There they are.
Oh, it's your little 20s.
Oh, the small ticket suits you as well. Did you get the letter that's come for you?
A letter for me?
Aye, over there in the dresser.
Maybe that's from Tom Huddle.
Aye, it's from Tom.
From who?
Tom Huddle, Isle of Valley. He has a boat for sale, made at Trosty.
What's £400 for her?
You have time to waste in use of Aaron's price and her. Is your own boat not good enough for you?
No, she isn't.
You have a curdling tongue, Michael, but it's only lent to you, my lad. You have nothing but a bitter answer for a fair question.
£400?
A fortune.
400 notes that you could crumple in your hand like flakes of dried seaweed? We had it last night, I bet. We had it in the nets we cut away adrift into the open sea.
Am I to get deaf listening to what happened last night?
What's Huddle like to talk to?
He's a quiet-spoken man with no time for blarney.
Would he be willing to take a chance?
In what way?
Well, of a good face. Would he take a small deposit from me and I could pay him back as I worked the boat?
I don't think he would.
And there's a house to go behind for money while you squander a gallivanting and a fishing nappy. What have you to say, John Quinn?
What is that I can say?
Oh, you always see his side.
Now, what can I do? I've set against him wanting the bigger boat. He's dead set on it, you see. Nothing I can say or do will please him or put him off the notion.
Where are you for?
I'd like to stretch myself in bed for an hour.
You're not forgetting it's All Souls Night. There's devotions.
For the minute I was. I'm changing my other clothes.
Is there no money to be left in the dresser for me?
No, Mother. Not this time.
Am I to have nothing? Are you keeping it all?
Yes, I'm keeping it all. I was going to ask you for more to add to it.
What's to become of things? There's a good sum owing in Tilda's and there's rent due tomorrow or the next day. Are you leaving no money on the dresser? Don't look under your brows at me.
How much money have you in the post office?
How do you know I have money in the post office?
So you have a book hidden under your skirt. It's folded twice round in silky brown paper. Oh, you're clutching it now like a lobster holding its bait. I've seen you clutching it often, aye, as you walked up the chapel aisle, even as you knelt by the fire there saying your prayers.
It's that brazen Molly Trainer that has told you my business. I'll go straight to Miss Ruth, the postmistress, and complain about her. She has no right to talk about what I have put past me, be it much or little.
Molly told me nothing, and you'll keep her name out of it. I saw the book myself.
When?
I saw it, that's all.
When did you see it? Tell me.
You needn't be afraid. I only saw you fold it in the paper. I don't know the amount marked on it.
Spying on me. The hungry eye sees far.
You've had it since I was a nipper at school. I wasn't spying on you, as you call it, and I'm not spying on you now. I'm only asking you how much money you've saved in the hope that you'll be sensible about it and lend me some. Look, Mother, I want to better myself. I want to rise in the world, and I want to get somewhere. That's why I want to buy the maid a trussel.
I haven't enough to buy a mincer for the maid a trussel.
Are you sure about that?
Why, you say nothing. If I have a shilling or two saved for the evil day, it's my own, and don't bother me about it.
I helped earn the most of it. Skate fishing, dulce cutting, lobster, slam, poke nets.
Oh, you'll face me now. I've been watching you of late, my buck, as proud as Black Lucifer you're getting, grunting like a pig at your job when he comes for the lobsters.
Should I salam to him? Crawl on my belly to him?
You haven't a manner to show the respect that's due to him.
How much money have you in the post office?
In God's name, why are you pestering me with questions? Let me be, can't you? Stephen was here. He wouldn't be tormenting me. God took the wrong one.
God didn't take him. There was a rotten boat that forced him into God's keeping. Why must you always blame God for it? God is always your convenient scapegoat. But it doesn't ease your mind. Oh, I know it doesn't. Frightened of your own shadow you are, since he was drowned. Aye, mild as a field mouse you had him, but not me. Oh, I'm your match.
A fine match you are, cheating an old woman. You'll get no money from me.
And you'll not handle my money either.
I go next door to the chapel. Never stay here any longer. I'd sin myself.
Before you go, look at this thing sensibly. In simple words, I'm asking you for the lend of money to buy a bigger boat.
I've no money to lend anyone.
But I'll pay it back too. I'll call God to witness that. I'll work my fingers to the bone to repay it. And you don't need what you've saved. You know you'll never want while my father and I have four hands between us.
I knew you were coming, John. I'm away on. Don't forget your beats.
Well, did you get any money from her?
No.
I'd expect that.
She doesn't seem to know what I'm trying to get at.
In the room there, I was wondering if it might be a good thing to speak to Thurston, the banker, about Maida Thurston. His bank might lend the money. It would cost little to send him out about it.
Sure, I shouldn't have to go to a banker with a poor mouth when my own mother has it.
But see, you don't know whether it's much or little she has saved.
She's been saving since I was knee-high at school.
She was always careful, only buying the bare necessities, and God knows they were bare enough.
Strange to hear you talking like that, Father.
No, I've never talked like this before. But you're a young man, Michael, that could do well in the world. And I, as your father, should be able to do all I can to help you.
What do you mean?
Well, last night over a quiet drink in Hannigan's, the schoolmaster was saying that he had spent over £500 in trying to make his son a doctor. How much, I wonder, was spent on you?
Yeah, I could easily tell you. Not as much as was spent in football togs for the master's son. Not the price of two black lobsters.
And working on the boat with me since you were seven. With your young hands red and swollen. Ah, but the master has the good word for you. It's queer that I should be your father and not be able to help you.
Why so?
If I was a man, I should be able to sit by the fire and face her and ask her what she had saved and tell her that you're our son and we should do the right thing by you.
Oh, I know how it is, Father. Sure, it was always like that, and I suppose it always will be. But how did it get like that?
No, I'm not alone. There isn't a fisherman about the place that isn't the same. And most of them as far apart from their wives as the moon is from the sea. Yet living together.
I know well. I know maybe why it's like that too. They pay for virtue just as they pay for
nice. I don't know what it is. But in my ignorant way, I think the women folk they marry are never young. They seem to be old from the start. There's a deadness about them like old leaves. If a man could only talk to his own the way he can talk to strangers.
That's twice tonight you've talked like that.
It's only that a man should be able to talk to his own wife in an upright and honest way. Look at me. Slipping into Hannigan's by the back way for a nip of whiskey. Slipping in like a mouse. Why is there that fear? There'll be no fear like that on you when you marry Molly.
Oh, there won't.
And that's how it should be. You'll get on, Michael. You have it all. A pleasant young woman for a wife, throwing back her head and laughing like a blackbird. The great thing about a woman's son is her laugh. You that has the reading might think that's a foolish thing to say, but the laugh of a woman can be a great thing.
Seldom you'll see my mother tossing back her head and laughing.
Seldom, aye. But there was a time when I knew a woman that could.
When was that, Father?
Oh, long before your mother and me married. At home it was, in Isle of Corr. But she shied clear of me.
Why, Father?
Ach.
We're both of us men, Father. Why can't we talk? What, even like strangers?
Michael's son, maybe I'm childish. A fool of a man of over 60.
Oh, you're not childish or a fool. Simple, perhaps, and a wee bit odd. And you could, too, with a little less superstition in your old grey head. There now. I'm talking to you as if we were strangers. What is it you were going to say?
I feel...
Well, why did she shy away from you?
After my brother Martin killed the gamekeeper. Do you ever know that you had an uncle hanged?
Sure, a thing like that never lies low.
But what of it? It's a long time ago now.
Well, to me it's like this morning. I can still see the grey sky with a gnaw of red in it. And I remember hearing a cat or crane screech. Why is it that I cannot loop a rope on a neck but it comes into my mind? I never told that to a living soul before. And all over a cock pheasant it was. A cock pheasant with a blue head and feathers coloured like wet dulse. She read it out to me 2 days later.
Who?
Rosa Wiley. That was her name. That was the day she shied away from me.
But why did you not marry her?
Why? I wish I knew. This talk is getting beyond us. I'd better go. I want a word with the curate. Queer the way she shied away from me. God forgive me, but I often see her as the mother of... Once I told a priest about it, and he said it was a sin to be thinking of my children as belonging to another woman. There it is. Maybe I've talked out of turn. There's a ship's whistle. I wonder where she'd be.
Oh, likely knocking Elder Bay. Dropped in there for shelter.
Oh, I'd say she's closer than that. Near the girl she is by the sound of the whistle. Is that yourself, Molly?
There's rumour there's a boat ashore.
Where?
I don't know. I heard it coming up the street.
I heard a siren going before you came in. Listen, there it goes again. Ah, well, if it's the truth, we'll soon hear about it. I go on.
Careful in the fog.
I can smell my way, so no fear.
What's the matter with you, pensive Paul? You don't look like a man after a good night's fishing.
I've been trying to borrow money from my mother to buy a fishing navvy.
Did you succeed?
What do you think?
Well, knowing her as I do, I'd say she wouldn't be too keen on parting with any.
Now, maybe if I was dead, she'd put up another tombstone.
Michael, what's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know, Molly. I'm tired of so many things.
Not tired of me.
No, Molly, I didn't mean that. And you know it.
Now, what is it then? Let's talk about it. Maybe I can help you.
Here, sit down. Cigarette?
No, Michael, not now.
How long have we been going out together?
A year come next regatta day.
And it's agreed. As soon as we get a roughness of money, we'll get married.
We agreed on that a long time ago.
And no matter what happens, there's nothing on God's earth can alter that.
Nothing.
And we haven't kept many things from each other.
None, Michael. Not on my side.
Well, neither have I. And you know that.
Michael, why all these questions?
Well, there's something I want to ask you, Molly. How much money has my mother in the post office?
Michael!
How much has she?
Michael, you don't know what you're asking. It's more than my job's worth to tell you that.
Up your blazes with your job, Molly. Your job is with me. I can buy a navvy for £400. Has she that much money put past her?
£400?
Aye, £400. Has she? Tell me, Molly, has she?
No, Michael, you mustn't ask me, please. Anything, Michael, but that. I mean, if I told you, I couldn't describe
it. Look, Molly, it would be simple. She's getting on. We can borrow that money. She would never know.
She would, Michael, she would.
You know as well as I do that she'd starve sooner than touch or lift a penny of that money, don't you?
Yes, perhaps you're right.
You know I'm right. As I say, we can borrow the money. Sure, the postmistress is ill, and there's only yourself in the office. Molly, I'd have it paid back in no time.
Michael, you don't know what you're asking.
You can do it if you want to.
It's our chance, Molly, to get away from the hovels we live in. We never escape the poverty in these dumps. Well, look at it. The net's trailing down. The lobster creels and the dead codling for the banker. We want to get away from it. From the smell of poverty that's sticking to its walls. You want a home the same as me, where we can breathe. This is our chance, Molly. Take it with me. If she has that much money by her, draw it out.
No, Michael. It's no use pleading.
Oh, think of it, Molly. Please help me. But it's all or nothing.
No, Michael. Listen, calm yourself a little. If I took that money and your mother found out...
How would you find out? You're the postmistress's dying, aren't you, in complete charge? A withdrawal form is all you need. Then you fill in the amount and you get her to sign it. Well, whatever it is, draw it out and I'll go to Tom Huddle with it. Oh, come on, Molly, are you with me?
I'm not, Michael.
Look, the herring's here. They'll stay around for a while. The prices are good. If I went to Huddle tomorrow, I could have the navvy at the fishing ground next week.
Would you not think of asking the banker for the money?
That's what my father suggests.
Or would it not be better for you to talk to Tom Byers? Everyone knows he has money in the bank.
Byers wouldn't do it.
You've never asked him.
Well, God, sure everyone knows that he's that mean he'd scarcely feed himself.
Now there goes the chapel bell. Come on. Come on.
Aye, all right. That ship's still below. You must be in distress right enough, Captain.
Maybe.
The banker hasn't called for his fish yet.
Unless he was here when we were in chapel.
Hadn't you better gut them for him and salt them to keep them fresh?
No, they'll be all right. It's cold enough in the weather to keep them a long time.
Is it too soon for a cup of cocoa?
No, I'll take one by the fire there. Been crowd for devotions. And every one of them prayed loud. They did indeed.
Strange that he always prays for a special intention. Do you think it would be for his own friends?
Well, it might be, I couldn't say. Oh, the altar in black gives me a queer feeling.
Wouldn't anybody. I think the fog's getting worse.
It's a pity it's so thick. We might have had another run to Gun's Isle for a go at the Heron.
What nets have you left?
I was forgetting, we've only one. Michael will have to take a race to Port of Oogie for him.
Well, he's the money to buy them. He's left nothing on the dresser for me. I'm just waiting to see what he's going to do.
Was he at you for more money?
He was.
Are you going to give him any?
Why did you ask me? Where would I get it?
Well, I heard him say it himself, that he had money in the post office. You know, I was never one for looking into things.
A shilling or two is all I have, and it needn't concern him.
Never once have I interfered with you or him, but Catherine, you should lend him what little you have. He's a good lad, is Michael. Never known the taste of drink and all for getting on in the world. You and I aren't getting any younger, and sure, both of us have the pension. We'll never go hungry, Catherine, or without shelter. 18 pence a week for rent, and there's burial insurance that'll see us down with comfort. He's all we have left, Catherine, and sure, in the end, you'll be leaving him whatever shilling or two you have. Let him have it now, Catherine, while the keenness for getting on is in him.
What is you coming now to upset me?
All right, woman, all right. I know if the money was mine, he wouldn't have to ask double for it.
It's his. That's what he told me tonight.
Well, God knows he works hard and does his fair share. Catherine, why are you so greedy about it? He's our son, isn't he? Surely if the schoolmaster can spend £500 on that drunken scamp of his, why can't...
In God's name, do you think I £500? There, there's the book. See it for yourself. Go on. Look into it. Turn the pages and see it for yourself.
Sure, it might have all the money in the world, Martin, for all I could know. You know that well, Catherine. If it was herons or lobsters and they in front of me, I could count them.
I'll then let your tongue rest about the money.
That'll likely be the banker.
I'll go. Come in, Mr. Thurston.
That's what you call a super of a night. You can scarcely see your finger in front of you.
Yes, thick, no doubt.
You couldn't fish much tonight.
That's true. Take a seat, Mr. Thurston.
Well, John, any luck today?
Oh, we didn't do too badly. I catch naked every day and I wouldn't call the king my cousin.
Did you get anything for me?
I didn't. Three fine rock codling there, as firm as steel. There.
Oh, that's good. What do I owe you?
I would say half a crown.
We might as well make it even, three bob. Here you are.
Thank you, Mr. Thurston. You're not in a hurry away, Mr. Thurston?
No, not particularly. Was there anything you wanted?
Oh, Michael, I think, was wanting a word with you.
Oh, certainly. I can hold on for a minute or two. I was speaking to the harbour master on my way down. He thinks there's a boat ashore somewhere near.
I was thinking that myself. Oh, if they're near this bar at all, it scares them. A treacherous place it is if you're a stranger.
I thought there would have been much more activity about. I remember this time 2 years ago when the oil tanker grounded in Tara Bay. The locals were out in dozens. But the place is deserted tonight.
It's likely the word hasn't gone round well enough about a ship being stranded or they'd be out. They were all at the chapel. Likely that's why they don't know about the ship.
Oh, you had a service there tonight?
There's always one on All Souls Night. A service for the dead. Sure, it's as little as we can do for the dead is to pray for them.
In the west of Ireland, they'd rather a funny custom on a night like this. Before going to bed, they used to leave the front door on the latch and stack the fire with turf. They told me that on this night, the dead walked, or rather, called into their own homes or homes of relatives to rest on their way.
We do that here too.
And you honestly believe that the dead pause to rest?
Sure, the dead are in God's keeping and anything can happen.
But did you ever see them?
Sure, they're dead, Mr. Thurston, and they might be beside you in the kitchen and you'd never see them.
I wonder what would happen if we could see them and talk to them. Supposing I came into this kitchen and found your friends around a fire. I bet they could set our minds at ease about a lot of things. Who would you expect to see, John?
That's strange, but I never thought of it like that before.
Well, who would you like to see, John?
I'd like to see my drowned son. I'd ask him first if he was happy. If his soul was at rest. But I'm sure it is, for he was a good lad, never knowing the taste of drink. Gently was, too.
What call would you have for asking that?
I'd like to know where he met his death. What part of the law he was drowned. Was it near the Gullens, or near the Swan Rock, or the Long Sheelis? Terrible, you know, Mr. Thurston, to be sailing up and down the loch, not knowing where it happened. Wondering all the time.
Well, anyway, John, perhaps it's just as well we cannot see the dead or talk to them.
You may be right, Mr. Thurston.
And you'll arrange the chairs tonight and fix the fire?
Since ever I remember we've been doing it.
Yet you never waited up to see if anything happened?
Never.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, how are you, Michael? Any news about the steamer that's blowing?
Aye, John Watson has just come in from Bangor and he says they're sending up rockets. And I hear her blowing still. He thinks she's somewhere about Kinship Bay.
Would you tell Mrs. Thurston I was asking about her and just going in to get the beds at her?
I will, Mrs. Quinn. I've just been saying to your father, Michael, that if there's a boat ashore, there would have been much more activity.
Aye, the Wurches ashore mustn't be definite yet, or the Vultures would be out robbing and plundering all they can get their hands on. Of course, they can't do it as well now since the Coast Watch has doubled.
Oh, some of the boys could snoop stuff out of the Coast Watcher's very boat.
You're right there, Mr. Thurston. The Coast Watch was strong last year when the oil tanker ran ashore in Tara Bay, but it didn't stop the boys from getting their fair share out of her.
They did, that's true. I don't think I'm talking out of turn when I say that one of the boys was able to lodge £250 in my bank.
I bet that man's 250's no use to him. I just let it lie with you.
Well, Michael, it's a nice little nest egg, isn't it? Good to have for the rainy day.
And like the rest of the nest eggs about this place, it'll never be hatched. Tell me, Mr. Thurston, if you don't mind, I can buy a nabby for £400. Would your bank lend me that much money?
Certainly, Michael. We'll advance you that. £1,000, if you like, provided we have ample security.
I've nothing would cover that.
That's what I said he wanted to see you about, Mr. Thurston.
That's all right, John. We are good friends, Michael, and I hope we'll remain good friends. You might say to me that the boat itself is ample security.
Well, isn't she?
And we in the bank need something more real, more substantial. A house, for example, is always a house. A field in 50 years' time is still a field. But, Michael, you can take a boat from a slip out there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and at 10:45 the same morning she might be gone. And where would the bank's money be then?
Well, but that might happen only once in a blue moon. With any luck at all, I could clear what you lent me in a month or so.
Provided there are herrings about. But you know, Michael, as well as I do, that herrings can be as elusive as a will-o'-the-wisp, and a season might slip by and you mightn't make as much as would keep your boat in petrol. And don't forget that in an abbey you have men to pay, plus the interest on your loan, and all the time your gear would be suffering.
Oh, for God's sake, Mr. Thurston, don't kill the bit of push and courage that I have. You can't lend me the money and that's that.
I'm sorry, Michael, but that's the way I must see things. I must see all the snags. I know you're a go-ahead young man, and personally, I'd take a chance on lending you the money. But I'm due some of these days for a transfer, and a man coming in my place mightn't see things the way I do.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know.
Is there no one about here that would go as security for you?
About here? Look, you know well there isn't. They save money about here not to help them live, but to help them die. What use is their little nest egg to them? They're £20, they're £50, they're £100 at the hug.
Oh, there's a lot in what you say, but I hope you understand my position. Look, of course, why not get 4 or 5 of the other fishermen together and get them to put up a sum of money? Even if they've only £20 each, if you can get your hands on £200 that way, I'll see what I can do. Who has the navvy for sale?
Tom Huddle.
From Isle of Valley? Oh, I know him well. We have a soap office there. I think I could talk Tom into a favourable arrangement. As sure as 5 of you owned an abbey, couldn't you take equal shares like they do in sailing ships?
I wouldn't do it. I know that. When I asked them to come as a deputation about the new slip, how many of them came? Not one of them. And they're the...
Anyway, Michael, think over what I was saying. If you can get 5 of them to put up a little money, I might be able to talk business to Tom Huddle.
That's a waste of breath talking to them.
Well, thanks for the fish, John.
Not at all. It looks like being a day or two before we'll get any more. And the fog looks like staying.
It's still pretty heavy. The boat's still blowing. It would appear she's in trouble right enough. Well, good night, all.
Now, good night.
Good night, Mr. Thurston.
I had an idea it would be useless asking for the money.
He would do it if he could. I believe that, all right.
Did you hear him talking about someone getting 250? I wonder who it was.
I couldn't tell unless it was that braggart Tom Byers. He did quite a bit of running up and down to the tanker. But I doubt it, for he's that big in the mouth he couldn't keep it to himself. He'd be blurting it out everywhere.
Do you think he got the money from the tanker, as Mr. Thurston suggests?
And where else would he get it from? Sure, any nets he has are rags. Oh, he could get it out of the tanker all right. Wages, maybe, or the sailor's savings.
Did you ask her about the money?
Yes, after we came from the chapel.
I suppose it was no use.
There was every look of her getting into a temper, so I didn't coax her further. You know, Michael, we might be judging her wrong. It might only be a shilling or two she has passed her.
But it's the empty feeling of distrust it leaves, Father. It makes you like a stranger with her. If she would only say, look, I have only £10 by me and I need it, but if you want it, you can have it. I wouldn't take it then. But it's made me uneasy in my mind to think she has the money and she won't lend it.
You'll never get very close to her, Michael.
You didn't yourself, Father?
No, Michael.
Yet you've been content?
No, Michael, I haven't. But what matter? The sea can always take your mind off things for a bit. That's why I'm so fond of it. But honour give where honour's due, she married me when the other woman shied away from me. Whether she knows or not about my brother, I couldn't say, but... she asks no questions. God knows, son, I've been moody with her, married to her and thinking about the other woman all the time. There's people say that you forget things, but you don't, son. My first love was my only one, and it's as fresh in my mind as if it was yesterday. But Catherine isn't the worst. She's had her troubles. And if I could point the finger at all, son, at her, it would be to say that she's just a wee bit greedy and over-careful.
A wee bit? It's canker in her mind. She can't even pray at night for it. Don't I watch her when she's supposed to be saying her beads, every now and then feeling in the pocket of her skirt, always to make sure the book's there? A woman that does that has more than the shilling or two you're talking about.
Well, whether she has or not, you won't get it from her.
Well, why?
Because I, as her husband, could never get it. We two are never one, the one that you hear the priest talking about. You, with all your book knowledge, should know that. We're too much apart. We're only grafted. She's stranger to me than she is to you. And for God's sake, try and purge this money craving from your mind.
You were never like this before. What's come over you?
I was giving you credit for understanding, Father.
Coming behind me. I told him you wanted a word with him, Michael. Did you hear that a boat in Kinche Bay?
Is she a big boat?
I couldn't say. All I know is that the coast watch has gone out. Three of the small boats have left.
They're rarely out. I trust them to be out teeming.
Did you hear the good news, John? A ship in Kinche Bay. Manna from our Neptune himself. Oh, the devil's good his own, isn't he, John?
Aye, good news it is for some people.
Well, honest John, always getting a wee digging. Well, Michael, Molly was telling me you wanted a word with me.
Well, to be brief as I can, Tom.
Not much when you say it quick. But no harm to you, Michael. I'm not interested.
Well, I looked on you, Tom, as a go-ahead.
Don't think it's a question of money. If I was keen to come in, I can walk into the post office when I like and lift a pound or two or put a pound or two in.
Please, Tom.
I'm all right, Michael. There's nothing the matter with my boat. She's small, I know, but she'll do me well enough.
You're content to go out and get an odd dozen of herons or a few codlin?
We're no worse off here than they are other places. Heavens above, man. Look at them in the west of Ireland. Look at what they...
Where'd you get the money?
I had my two eyes skinned when the tanker was aground in Tara Bay. Aye, and my two hands out of my pockets, too.
And somebody else's they were.
You're good at the joking, John. But you know in your heart I know pickpocket.
You know well I'm not serious, Tom.
Oh, a lot of boys thought I get nothing out of her but a barrel of olive oil. For that was all they saw. But there was something in the kitty that they couldn't see at all. And the only man I showed it to was Thurston the banker.
Money? What?
Aye, John, a roll of notes thick as the leg of a young bull.
Where did you get them?
In a press they were, lying like letters on a counter. Was I going to let them lie there for the sea to suck them down to the bottom? I took them, John, and I don't think myself a thief.
Yet it was taking what didn't belong to you, Tom.
And you put the money in the bank?
I did, to be sure.
And what do you intend to do with it there? Let it drop in the bank?
Damn the rot will it do. There's no milieu in the bank. What hell your blow as loud as that? Didn't you hear her, Mike?
Aye, I did. Oh, I'd say she was a deep sea, all right.
Come on down with me, Micah. And we'll chance her luck.
Go down to Kinche Bay.
Aye, we'll share and share alike. Oh, come on, man. If there's anything going, the sea won't wash it along the bed, could you? What do you say, John? It's worth the row down, isn't it?
It's a matter for himself.
You might get out of her what'll buy the maid a trusting for you. You never know. Give it your mind, Michael. And you go and get an oil skin about me. It'll start ebbing soon. A nice drift down. We know all the ropes and the fog to hide us. Mind you, Michael, if you're not in the notion, I won't have far to seek a partner.
He's always the braggart.
Should I go, Father?
I'd say no, but you won't be told by me. You'll suit yourself, I know.
It's a chance, Father.
Yes, and the place overrun with coast watchers. What's changed you, Micah? Didn't I hear you earlier, in front of Mr. Thurston, calling those who went stripping a stranded ship vultures?
Well, surely it isn't a crime for a man to change his mind about something. Besides, it's the unwritten law of the coast, isn't it?
And if the coast watchers find you, don't forget it's arrest and jail.
Ah, well, that's a chance we've got to take. But if we hug the shore, there's no danger of that. Their boats are too clumsy.
Have you never thought of Molly there? How is she going to feel if you're taken for making a thief of yourself?
John, come and help me to turn this mattress.
I'll be right in.
How would you feel, Molly, if they didn't take me?
I wouldn't feel very good about it, Michael. In spite of what you think of me.
What?
You can hurt Michael.
When, Molly? When did I hurt you?
Earlier on, when you asked me to fraud about the money.
God, Molly, I didn't know it hurt you. I wouldn't for the world. I was keyed up about the boat.
You've no idea how it hurt, Michael. To think that you'd get the idea that I'd stupid...
Please, Molly, believe me, I didn't mean it like that. It was an eagerness.
What's changing you, Michael? You were
By leaving nets of fish in the sea. I've got to get a bigger boat. Don't you see that, Molly? Don't you?
I do.
But I'm sorry, love, for asking you what it did. I know you're honest, Molly. Now tell me, do you think I should go down with Tom Byers?
That's a matter for yourself.
But, Molly...
Well, Molly, you can talk him out of going down.
No, I didn't.
Look... You won't be angry, Molly, if I go.
I said before, it's entirely a matter for yourself.
You're going then?
I am.
Where are you going?
Kentia Bay, down to the wreck.
Who's going with you?
I'm not. Never in my life did I prowl about in a dead ship.
I'd go down myself if I was able. Fine things been watched out of her into the sea. Sure, God himself wouldn't say anything against poor folk getting them. If you're taking your own boat there, won't you need to clear the nets out of her to make room? Would you not give him a hand?
It's not my wish that he should go.
And why shouldn't you go? Same as the rest and get your share of what's going.
Are you not going to wish his luck?
I don't want him to go at all.
And maybe if he brings back a bottle or two of brandy from her for that old chest of yours, you'd tell him to put it in the mitten. My God, man, if we only get a couple of tubs of coal out of her, isn't it worth the row down?
Aye, well, I hope I can get more than a few tubs of coal.
Don't go rummaging in the cabins, Mike.
Listen to honest John. Wouldn't the Lord himself rather that poor folk like ourselves got any stuff that's going before it went down to the bottom of the sea? There, you see? You have no answer for that. Come on, Michael.
Will someone come with me? I'll give them the net out of the boat. It'll only be in our way.
I'll come. But where will I leave it?
I'll do the ball tomorrow.
What time will you be back?
Likely at tide's turn. Certainly before dawn.
I'll wait up for you, Michael.
I'll go home, but I'll see you first thing in the morning.
Watch yourselves now. And for God's sake, heave to if the coast watch challenges you.
You're upsetting. That's what you are, John. Putting obstacles in their way.
Come on, Michael.
Don't worry. We'll be back before dawn.
Don't worry so much about Michael. He'll be all right. You know he's dead set on getting a bigger boat.
He shouldn't be so impatient. It looks as if he doesn't care where he gets the money to buy her, as long as he gets it.
Well, if he was lazy and had no drive, you might feel worse about
it. It's the reading that's making him worse. That book there on the dresser has put this notion of the bigger boat in his head.
Don't you wish now that you could read yourself?
Sometimes I think...
You do now. There's no use denying it. Reading is a fine thing. It clears the mind.
There's people who'll tell you that it makes for pride and putting people above their station.
If people read more, John, there'd be no such things as stations as you know them. You'd have been a much happier man all your days if you'd been able to read.
How so?
Well, look at yourself. Going about as meek as a lamb with an imaginary curse always clouding your mind. You needn't look at me like that. Michael told me all about it.
About my dead brother?
Yes.
Did he tell you about the woman that...
He did. I pitied her when I heard it. She must have been a poor, ignorant, superstitious being. You've been unhappy with all this unnecessary worry. A lifetime of misery.
I have, Molly. There's always been a discontent.
And it's yourself that's been the cause of it. I tell you what. When Michael and I are married and have a little place of our own, you can come every night and spend an hour with us and I'll teach you to read.
And would you teach me to write too, Molly?
Of course I will.
Oh, it grieves me, Molly, to have to put a next on my pension book. Is it hard to write, Molly?
It isn't. Here, wait till I get a piece of paper. Hold this pencil. And let me guide your hand. J. O. H. M. Q. U. I. N. M. There. That's your name. Sure, a few times over it and you could write better than I could myself.
Yes, I suppose so. But it's the counting, Molly.
Simple, too. Look. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. And when you want 10, you put a 1 in front of a knot.
And hundreds, too.
Well, 2 knots after a 1.
And that's a knot. Round like a sail ring or the eye of a heron. And that's a 5. Shaped like a cup hook in the dresser. And a 6. Like a whirlwood is on the beach. A
Perhaps you say, Molly, it'll be no time before I could write and read.
And would you like it?
Sure I would. And 1,000, Molly. How would you write down 1,000?
3 knots and 1, like that. I tell you, when Michael and I get a place of our own, I'll wash my hands clear of you in 2 months if you can't read and write.
Molly, I'll come to you, never fear.
There'll be a cup of tea with a wee nip of something in it.
Of what?
Whiskey. Or maybe you prefer rum.
And you would have it in the house, like the way you'd store medicine?
Of course I would.
And if Michael was given to it, you wouldn't say against him?
No. Provided you didn't overdo it.
God, I'd both be you're a woman in 1,000.
No, I'm not.
And you'd let him have a shilling or two in his pocket?
Of course. I don't want all his money. But he must give me what's going to keep his home comfortable. And if there's any children...
You'd be good to children, Molly.
Of course I would. Why shouldn't I if they were my own?
You wouldn't push them away from you like they do around these doors. They're like the swans you see in the Glendry Bog, Molly, that chase their young from them when the first signs of whiteness are on them. That's what they do with their wains here. When the down comes on their cheeks, off with the boys to sea and the girls to service.
If we have children, I'll try and keep them about me as long as I can.
Why can't they all be like you?
They'd never be like me. Because our neighbours from one end of the street to the other married each other for what?
For what, Molly?
Frank Byers married Ellen because she was a quiet, modest girl that knew the value of half a crown. Jane Magan married Hugh McGrath because he neither smoked nor drank. Alec McWinnie married Susan Black because she owned the house she lived in. And do you know why Molly Traynor is marrying Michael Quinn?
Why?
Because Molly Traynor loves Michael Quinn. And Michael Quinn loves Molly Traynor. That's more than 60% of the folk we live among could say.
I suppose it is, Molly.
Where's the young fellow?
He left with Tom Byers a short while ago, Mr. Thurston. Did you want to see him?
I did.
Well, maybe they haven't left the shore yet. I'll take a look.
Oh, never mind, sir. I'll do it in the morning.
I'll not be a minute, Fetcher.
Good day, Mr. Thurston.
I heard talk of the boat that's aground being American.
It could be.
You'd like to see Michael getting the bigger boat.
Of course.
I've been running it over in my mind since I left. I'm going to lend him the money myself.
Do you mean the bank?
No, my own money. Out of my own pocket. Of course, it's got to be hush-hush. I don't want the two old people to know about it. Let them think the loan's coming from the bank.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thurston. I know he'll make a go of things. You won't lose any money. At least, I think you won't.
Why do you say that?
I happen to know that his mother has a tidy sum by her. And I feel that if anything happened to her, Michael will get it, as he's the only one left. I tell you this so as you'll know the money owing to you will be paid sometime.
Well, it's kind of you to tell me.
I wouldn't tell that to a living soul. Don't think that I...
They're gone. I heard the splash of the rows beyond the Black Rock.
Oh, never mind. It'll keep. Tell them to see me tomorrow.
I will.
Nothing further about the boat?
No, but the rockets are stabbing through the fog. You know, in a queer way, like the light of a candle in a paper bag.
Well, I'll get along home now.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Thurston.
Good night, and I won't forget to give Michael your errand. I wonder what he wants to see Michael for.
He's going to lend him the money to buy the boat.
I always said it. There's none better than Thurston. Lend him it all.
Yes. So you can tell Mrs. Quinn when she comes in. I don't know whether she'll be pleased or not.
It'll be hard to say. What will she take?
I'll look in again in the morning. Good night.
Good night, Molly. A 5. Just like a cuphook you screw into a dresser. And a nod, like the eye of a heron.
Oh, it bothered me. I thought I'd never reach you.
What happened?
Fell below the rocks. Slipped on the tail and nets of a sky.
Are you hurt, woman?
Cold to the marrow of my bones. I thought I'd faint, but I've got something all over me.
That is. Just imagine, that's all. Come to the fire. You're shivering. I was out there a while ago. Why didn't you come in?
I couldn't for the shivering.
Come close to the fire, woman. If you'd a sip of brandy. I'll try and get you some companions. Sit there. Will you be all right?
I
won't be long away.
Stephen. Stephen. Oh, Stephen.
I couldn't get into Hannah's. I knocked on Molly's door and she's gone to Mahan's further up. How are you now?
It's the cold. I don't know what came over me. Get me a sip of water.
Hold a minute and Molly will be here with some brandy.
Why had you to go to Boston Brewster Hall? My mouth is dry and warm, yet there's a coldness in my body.
Sit closer to the fire. Or better still, take yourself to bed and not sit there trembling.
I saw dark figures as I lay on the beach, as if their heads were covered with shawls. And it disappeared.
Just imaginings, woman, that's all. Sure, a fog does that.
And the thing I felt that was walking quietly over my face.
Nonsense, woman, a ribbon of seagrass caught in the breeze and curved in there. It's happened often to me.
But tonight, of all nights.
What difference, woman, between this and any other night? Talk sense and come to bed and sleep, but forget all about it.
Where's Molly?
Did I not tell you she's gone to Mahan's to try and get you some brandy? You're like a woman, really. One minute not wanting Molly and the next wondering where she is.
Stephen. Stephen.
Keep still your tongue and get into bed.
It's all the strange talk that's upset me.
What strange talk?
The strange talk with the banker and you telling me you'd like to see Stephen.
There must have been any harm in that. Wouldn't I like to see him and talk to him? Wouldn't anyone? Sons that the king would be proud of. And the other one gone off with that mad Tom Byers. Sometimes I think there's a kind of a madness in this house.
I have never noticed it, but if there is, you know where to look for it.
Never mind about that now. It's time you're in your bed.
It's getting close to midnight. I go now. Build the fire before you come.
I light the candle for you, Chief. There now, all's ready. Worried about Stephen?
Because that Michael one won't let him rest. Always taunting me with him. It's better to bend his knees and pray for Stephen than to be casting his death up to me. There's a streak of badness in our Mike. It was God's will that Stephen was taken, wasn't it?
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Why do you say maybe?
You want me to side with you, isn't that it?
I always feel like a stranger among you since Stephen went. You always see the other side.
Well, ask yourself who has made the strangeness. You took yourself far apart from us. Not behaving like a mother at all.
In God's name, what is it you want of me? What do you want me to do?
Let him have the money to buy the boat.
I haven't got it.
Once before you showed me your book. Let me see it now.
Why?
I know a thing or two since then, short time as it is ago.
The book is mine and I'm keeping it to myself.
All right. He won't trouble you again for the money. The banker is lending him what'll buy the boat.
And what security?
That I don't know. So you can go to bed now, knowing that he won't pester you again.
I must have no rest from the pair of you. I stand here shivering from a fall, and you taunt me with a shilling or two I have past me. I should have drunk it like Mason's wife.
Never mind. The talk of money is all over and done with now.
That old Grace Mahan is as slow as a snail. It wouldn't take anyone to be in dire need waiting for her to rise. I nearly had to batter the door down to wait on her. How do you feel now?
I'm settling a bit better. I'm for bed.
Well, if you are, I'll bring you in a bit of this brandy instead of with you.
Is there any goings on outside?
I met John Stones on my way down. He says the wreck's a 5,000 tonner that's ripped the bottom out of herself. There's a gap on her side that a threshing machine would pass through.
Did he say if he saw a sign or word of Michael?
He didn't see them.
They'll be all right, you know.
If you're waiting up, John.
Then see them, John. There's the market clock. Arnold must be right. I thought she was a little fast. Good night, John. Pray for Stephen.
Eternal rest, O Lord, grant to the soul of my dead Stephen. Stephen.
There's no change. And let's hang down and my father prays by the fire as before.
Paul, are you never satisfied, Mother? I'm after putting my death's hair in your hand. You think we're only here to make money for you?
You've lost more time talking than you could have been there.
I'm not going, Mother, not, that's all.
You're turning the word on me.
What's wrong with you? Don't you understand? I'm frightened of it. I can't help it.
The gentry are good people, good people.
All right, all right, I'll go.
It's that Micah that's turning you. Never before have you fired the word at me. It'll be a long day before I forget the temper in your voice to me this evening, my boy.
You could hear the temper in my voice, but not the terror. You could urge me off the boat and see her dance away from the shore. You could see the oars dip as my tired arms tugged them through the water. You could see me round a point. And you closed the door. You could see nothing then but the bright fire burning in the hearth. You couldn't hear the east wind as it tore up the lock and flung the sea into the boat. You didn't see me as the oars leapt to meet me in the rollocks and the rotten gunnels. Nor did you see a crackle at the withered twigs. You didn't see her fling me out into the sea like a curving pellet. My loud words of anger were in your ears. You didn't see my tired fingers claw the water and reach the wreck until the sand oozed over them as I lay at the bottom. Fresh, they may be loosed from the sins. Pray for the living, but they may be loosed from the greed.
John, come in quick. I can't hold Catherine in the bed.
God bless me, Molly. You scared me. I was asleep.
John, I've seen him. I've seen Stephen.
Down here by the fire.
But I've seen him, John. I tell you, I've seen him plain as you are
now. Nonsense, woman. You're talking blarney. In God's name, what call had you for going out tonight? Upsetting us all. Sit by the fire there and try and purge it from your mind.
I heard him cry that he was frightened of the sea.
Yes, he was often at that when he was alive.
Talk no more about it. A wee nip of brandy has clouded your mind and the knock you got on the beach upset you.
Get her clothes, Molly, or she'll get a flounder.
I'll be all right.
I'll get your things just the same.
It's getting late. Time Michael and Byers were home.
Here's your clothes now. Come closer to the fire and I'll wrap them around you.
Thanks, Molly. What's that?
It's her post office book. No, Molly, I'll keep it. 5, like a couple that has been a dresser. And 2 knots, round like the eyes of a hern.
Great tracks, my boys, great tracks. Home is the sailor, home from the sea, and the hunter home from the hill.
Where's Michael?
Let me sit down to draw my breath.
What's come over you, Cat? You're shivering there like a half-drowned pup.
She got a knock on the beach tonight, below at the rocks. She was after taking the nets up for you and Michael.
It was more the cold, really, than the knock.
When you hear what I've got to say, the red blood will pump hot through your veins. We're rich, John, our son, we're rich.
Money?
Oh, you can always cop the lug to the sound of money, Catherine. Michael and all his book learning, but it still takes the old dog for the hard road.
Come on, Tom, we're keen to hear what's happened.
Well, she's a Yankee, a 5,000 tonner, and she's a total wreck. The crew left her, taken ashore with a clocking life.
But where's Michael? You surely didn't leave him on board.
Not at all. We were scarcely 20 minutes all told on board. But we didn't come away from her empty-handed. If he hasn't 500 or 600 pounds in them wadding oaks, I'll never dip another oar into the salt sea. Says I, Michael, you've as good as bought the Maid of Crossing. And the beauty of it is, John, the ship's sick and fast. She'll disappear afore the morning.
But where's Micah?
I'm coming to that.
Well, you're a long time.
A good story is never spoilt through being long in the telling. Says Micah to me, as we're leaving the ship, but be terrible if the coast watch came down on us now. Says I, it would be worse than fatal. But couldn't hide the money in our persons. So I cut off a weight of the old mucker tube we use as a fender, and stuffed the notes into it, and bound the 2 ends fast with net twine.
And what then?
My idea was to throw away the wee rubber packet over the side and have a string from it to the boat. And we had the blessed thing to act as a sinker, and the rubber packet floated on the water like a duck.
What did you do?
It was then Michael spotted the searchlight from the coast watch boat.
Did they come down on you?
Did they seize Michael?
Ah, sure, how could they? John, you reared a grand lad, a Viking, a sure Viking. Says Michael, Tom, how far are we from the shore? Just then, we rowed past the Bruin Perch, and he knew just how far we were.
What did he do?
Don't be impatient, John. Says Michael, if I could swim the whole breadth of the loch one regatta day for a couple or 3 guineas, surely I can swim from here to the shore. So he pushed the money down his vest. Says he, when you get home, tell my father to fetch an overcoat to James Hannah's cottage. That's well made for. And with that, he over the side and away in the water like a swan. He was hardly gone 3 minutes when the coast watch came on and made me heave too. Do you know, John, that searched the very bit to
get in the dawn to gather slugs for the codfish?
You're certain, man, that they couldn't have heard him in the water and followed?
Certain, aye, when they left me that headed dead south.
Is the fog anything easier?
A lot. The moon's breaking through them. Hurry along, John, for I'm eager to see him back till we count the spoils.
I'll hurry as fast as I can.
I need to get along and break the good news to the old woman. I'll be back here again in a minute or two.
Look, John, better let me go. It would take you hours hobbling out there. I could get Sarah's bike. I'll make the place in no time.
But Molly...
Now sit there and no back answers. Go on, sit down. I'll be back before you'd have reached the end of the street. Give me the coat. And keep the door closed and not let the draught get caught.
Molly,
why are you so mute?
What are you saying?
I'm only asking how much money did Barris pay the government ship?
I don't know and I care less.
Spice your answers with a little kindness. I've been through a lot this night, you know.
You're at ease now. Did you see Stephen?
I did. And he cried out he was frightened of the sea.
I knew that well.
I think Barris said it was nearly £600 they got.
Where's my... What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
What are you searching in your skirt for?
Is the candlestick lit in the room? I've lost something.
It is. A five. Shaped like a copper like you'd see in a dresser. And knots like the round eyes of a herring. But you know well there's a new whip needed for it.
Well, I'll borrow the record of that one there. I must look for what I lost on the beach.
Oh, there's no need for you to hurry. It won't be high water until near the dawn. Sit down there. What was it you lost?
Ask no questions about it. Why are you staring at me? Looking through me.
Did Stephen say he was frightened of the sea? Captain, why did you force him out?
I didn't force him out.
It was never his liking to search the creels. Why did you force him out, you greedy bitch? It's as Michael says, you are never fit to mother children.
Not your children, anyway.
Nobody's children.
Not yours, I'd have peeped.
Patient, I've been with you always, woman. Don't have me turn now. Don't have me turn.
And where and who would you turn? You might steal a fiery talk, and you yourself not fit to be a father. Your thoughts always abed with a woman that shied away from you in the Isle of Corr. I heard you tonight.
What did you hear?
You saying that we were only grafted like two plants and not one at all.
Yes, that's what I said. And I was speaking the truth. Face me, woman. Face me on this holy night of all souls and tell me one thing. Is there not an ounce of tenderness within you? Tell me now and be truthful. Why is it you never laugh nor have easy thoughts?
I'm only as God made me. Never had much to make me laugh. Never laughed as a child, so I couldn't as a woman.
Why not?
Just a bitterness always in my mouth, since it was knee-high in the home with the nuns. To be cursed with the want of parents, and to be told to be grateful to God for being found in the sheltered hollow of a beech tree. I thought, when I'm married, the tree planted crooked will never grow straight. I thought it would change, that the hardness would leave me.
It didn't.
We've been together a long while, and you should know.
But surely, woman, in your mind, you must see things. You see what's wrong and how you can set it right.
When I was 10 and hired to the farmers, they told me I was found abandoned and... Don't talk to me any more about it. Don't. I can't help it, I'm telling you. I can't help it.
You're back soon, aren't you?
I didn't go. Molly went, borrowed a bicycle. She thought I'd never make it with my chest.
The fog's lifting. The moon's forcing a way through. They ought to be here. It's like the poem that taught me in the second book. My heart is weary waiting for the bay. Only it isn't the May I'm waiting for. He'll be able to buy the maid a trussing all right now.
Maybe.
There's no maybe about it. She's as good as moored out there. It's taken them a hell of a long time to get here. The wooden book curtain along the road.
You're sure it was the Bruin Point?
No, John, it was the Cape of Good Hope. Good God, man, had neither power of my eyes.
All right, all right.
What has you so nervous? Isn't he, Captain?
He is, to be sure.
In a fog it's different. He might be swimming round and round like a sick cormorant with a hurt wing. No light or sound on the shore to guide him either.
You're talking like an old woman.
Was it the sandy side of the point he went ashore from where I dig the bait?
God above me, man, we were so close to the point that we heard the cormorants groaning in their sleep.
I'm going out to have an errand on the beach.
Quick, John.
What's the matter, Molly?
The coastwatch are searching round the point. They heard someone cry out. Go on, Tom. It might be too late yet.
I'll come with you, Tom, on the second oar.
I won't be long, John. I'll rush the moorings, and when I've got the boat at the slip, I'll hear you.
I'll go and rise and help.
Oh, God. God. You can't do this. You can't.
What are you talking like that? Jump into the worst thoughts in your head.
I'm swearing this on the night of All Souls. If anything has happened to Michael, I'll kill you. Do you hear me? I'll kill you.
Oh, aye. There's murder in your blood.
I'll kill you. I know what you've been looking for. I have it here.
Where'd you get it? You've been thieving from my skirt pocket. Give it to me.
It isn't yours. Every silver sixpence you saved, it was earned by him.
I saved it. £500. But come on, John. This is no time to think of the like of that. Come on, hurry.
Mother of God, £500.
It's mine. Mine, do you hear? Scraping and scraping all these years to save it.
It isn't yours, but his and mine, who were starved to save it. I'm going to look for him now. And you need never enter this house again if anything's happened to him.
Listen to me, John. Listen to me.
You, Michael?
Yes, Stephen.
The two of us now.
Yes. At the Bruin Perch, close to the warded perch, the blister of weed clipped my fingers and curled its heavy weave about my arms, circled in a net around my neck, poked its tartle tails in my eyes until the swirling tide poured death into me.
My own last thoughts were against herself.
Spurt of anger spitting out their life as it left me. She bid you search the lobster pots with a wind rising in the east, with a whinge in its breath, just like her own. The whinge of poverty that drowned her soul and washed out the finer things. But her death of winds in her near past, he swore loud if anything happened to me, he'd kill her. And his temper within him.
I'd still be alive if she hadn't forced me out.
I know. I would be too, if a greed had thawed in her heart. She killed us both, sent us to an early grave. Why did they ever marry?
What does it matter to us now? We're dead. We're gone forever and ever and ever. She must answer to God for bringing death on us so early.
I wonder what she'll say to him. Oh, she'll have ready the answer of her helplessness.
In The Long Sunset by R.C.
You're in the mood of sorrow. Can that happen?
Come with some. Contrition brings wisdom. It might be like that. We're talking as if she were dead already. He wouldn't kill her.
In secret, it's your... Come on, man, sit down. Where's the doctor's bottle?
I'm all right.
Your doctor's all right.
Come on. Get this medicine inside you before you cough up your heart's blood.
All right, maybe.
There now, get it down. Well, chill the chest and ease it.
That's the two of them now, Tom. Strange that he didn't look like someone dead. You wouldn't have known, save for the trickling of water from the hair to the brow. Ah, what is it I'm saying? Of course you'd know he was dead. For why should he lie crouched on a stave door? It was decent of James Hanna to let you pull the stave door from the fowl house for the body's resting.
Aye, you'll find folk are kinder in death than in life itself.
Aye.
Here's Catherine come in here. Look, Catherine, keep an eye on. The police must be fetched and told about it. They'll have to know it all soon for the inquest. I'll away and tell them.
Turn up the lamp, woman. Turn it up. It's dark.
There.
Let there be peace, woman, between the pair of us. What is there left for us but bide as best we can? I'll not harm a hair on your head. Here's your book. Come on, stretch out your hand and take it. I sweat. Come, take it, Catherine. The blame isn't all yours. The gap there was between us, I helped to widen.
I tried to close it. God knows I did. But the briars of memory will never bind. They seed it from bitterness. A flower must be propped to prosper. A horse altered. But what had I? No shape into my soul. Folk poisoned at me. Bitterness flooding me as the black flooding a berry. Why had I not parents?
I can't answer that.
Kindness must be kindled. What little spark I had was easy kindled. You say I ne'er was fit to be a mother. Were you fit to be a father? You planted both in another's womb, you said yourself. We two were only grafted. What flowering can there be on the grafted plant? Answer me. What flowering is there on the grafted plant?
I widened the gap between us, that I know. Let us bide what little time there's left. Turn up the lamp, woman. Turn up the lamp. Why must there be this darkness? It was decent of James Hannah to let them pull the door from the fowl house. Aye, folk are kinder in death than they are in life.
In All Souls Night, Michael Duffy was John, Sheila McGibbon, Catherine, and Dan Gordon, Michael. Molly was played by Susie Kelly, Tom Byers by John Hewitt, Stephen by Trevor Moore, and Mr. Thurston by Pat Brannigan. The music was specially composed by Henry Dagg. All Souls Night was written by Joseph Tumulty and directed in our Belfast studios by Catherine Porter.
If you're still in the mood for more drama, let me tell you about the Monday play tonight, which is on a somewhat different topic. It starts from a highly topical point, in fact. Its central character is a newspaper editor called Bruce Miller, who's forced to resign when a new management takes his paper over. It's all because he finds himself unable to stand up to the new management's plans to take the paper down market. But there's worse to come. The same management has television interests, and it starts up a kind of gladiatorial personal inquisition chat show with the object of destroying public reputations live on air. And yes, you've guessed, Bruce Miller, that's the name of the editor, by now, of course, an ex-editor, is invited to appear. Can he survive? You can hear Barry Foster in the Monday play, The Flawed Man, by James Douglas, at 8:15 this evening.